بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم. Once again, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most glorified, the most supreme, for allowing us to gather again, once again in His masjid, in His house, for His worship, for His ibadah, on the best of days, on the day of Friday, Sayyidul Ayyam, the King of all days. We also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the likes of the elected Prophet, the seal of prophethood, the chosen messenger Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now moving on, the weather this week has, from the previous week, has increased a lot. Okay, everyone's been sweating out. Now, there's a few things as Muslims that we need to bear in mind, especially with this weather, is that typically, living in Western countries, the moment the, especially in England, the moment the weather goes above 20 degrees, you start to see more skin. Okay, people start to reveal the skin a lot more. As a Muslim, our loyalty is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We do not look at anybody else. For our morals, for our personality, for our character development, for all ways of life, we look towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, even in this weather, the way we act, the way we deal with each other, the way we dress, this is dealt by the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how does the Quran and the Sunnah tell us to dress? The first thing is, for a man it is minimum to cover from below the belly button till below the knees. It's a minimum. You must cover this much. Nobody else is allowed to see that part of the body except for either your wife, or if you are a child, then your mother and father. Apart from them, nobody else. So this means shorts that go above your knees, this is haram to wear in public. If you wear it in your own room by yourself, there wouldn't be a harm in that. But if you're wearing in public where people can see you, then every single person that looks at you, every single person that sees your aura, sees your private area, this is haram. And you'll get sin for every single time someone looks at you. So this is even if you're wearing shorts inside the house, and you open the door for the postman, or you open the door for the delivery, and the delivery man sees you in your shorts, this is also haram. Okay? There are many reasons to why Islam has given these legislations, and a legislation especially for how we dress. One of them is that the Sharia, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they come to defend and protect five things. Okay? There's hifzul aql, the protection of the intellect. Hifzul mal, protection of the wealth. Hifzul nasab, protection of the family tree or the offspring. The hifzul jism, protection of the body. And then, you know, these are four of them. The fifth one I can't remember right now. But essentially Islam comes to protect five things. The one we'll focus on today, hifzul nasab. Hifzul nasab meaning the protection of the offspring. This means all of your shahwat. Shahwat meaning your lust, your desires. Islam comes and gives you a lawful way to enact upon your lust, and there's also an unlawful way. The lawful way obviously being through marriage. You marry somebody, you marry, obviously if you're a man, you'll marry a woman. If you're a woman, you'll marry a man. Unfortunately, we live in a day we have to clarify this as well. Okay, but as a man, you'll marry a woman. And this is the lawful way of enacting upon your desires, enacting upon your lust, your shahwa. And the unlawful way would be out of wedlock. If you're to marry, or if you're to perform zina, perform adultery with somebody who you're not married to, or if you were to also do with somebody of the same gender. These two things are completely haram and impermissible in Islam, because they destroy the household. They destroy the family. Okay, Islam is there to protect the family. Okay, why did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us that if you should know your grandfather, you should know your great, you should know your family lineage? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this. This is a sunnah. To know who your father is, to know who your grandfather is, to know who your great-grandfather is. okay, as much as you can. And all the Sahaba, you will learn, you know, for example, we say Umar ibn al-Khattab, Umar, the son of Khattab. We say Uthman ibn Affan, Uthman, the son of Affan. Okay, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, his name was Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa. Abdullah is the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. He's the son of Abi Quhafa, Abu Quhafa. So the Sahaba, they would preserve their lineage in their names. And for example, you'd also have somebody, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah is the son of Sayyidina Umar. And this is how they recognize each other, and this is how they protect their family lineage. So even today, we may not recognize each other by our names. We may not recognize each other by, you know, he's the son of this person, he's the son of this person. But at least you will know that this person, he's from this village, or this person, he's from this family. This is at least the bare minimum. As a Muslim, you need to know this. If people were to go out and perform zina, or act upon their shahawat, act upon their lust, and they have children out of wedlock, then this creates many problems. Firstly, those children that are born out of wedlock, sometimes it comes to a situation that child doesn't know who their father is. I was reading a case study. There's an individual, a Norwegian individual, okay? And he donated or he distributed his bodily fluids to many different banks. And he got to the point where he had, through this system, he had over 200 children. And these 200 children, they don't know who their father is. They all grew up without a father. Their father is still alive. But because this father has distributed his fluids to all these different places, now these children are spread across the globe and they don't know who their father is. This is an issue for many reasons. Firstly, the childhood of that child is destroyed. The upbringing of that child is destroyed. Now he is either raised by a soul mother or he is raised by a mother and somebody and a father who is not his father. This is one issue. And Islam will come to prevent this. So going back to the thing about the aura, in this summer weather especially, it is important you cover the aura. From below the navel till below the knees. This is the bare minimum. To cover more is better. And to cover, you know, the entire chest, to cover the back, to cover the legs, this is better. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, when it came to the sleeves and the length of his garments, there are different narrations. And this is where in my previous speeches I've mentioned, we should all study the shama'il, the characteristics and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how did he wear his sleeves? It's mentioned that sometimes his sleeves would be above his elbow, up here. Naturally, as part of the garment, it would be above his elbow. In some of his clothes, they'd be just below the elbow, like this. Sometimes they'd be just above the wrist. And some of his clothes, they'd be above the wrist like this, just below the knuckles. Some of his clothes would be like this. So this is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whichever you choose to wear, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is permissible to wear all of these. As long as the aura is covered, the sleeves are perfectly fine. In another sunnah, in terms of the length of the garment, it's mentioned in all the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, minimum, he'd wear it above the ankle. It's the bare minimum. Okay? And there's a hadith that we all know, that if somebody was to lower their garment below the ankles, then that part of the garment which is below the ankles is in the fire. It's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we understand this? The muhaddithun have mentioned that this ruling, where if you leave your clothing hanging below the ankles, if you do this out of pride, if you do this out of arrogance, then this is worthy of sin. And if you pray salah in this state, it is makruh tanzihi, the lesser makruh. It is not makruh tahrimi, it is makruh tanzihi, the lesser makruh. And it still be permissible to pray your salah like this, as long as you're not wearing it out of pride. As long as you're not doing it out of arrogance, out of boastfulness. And if you wear it above the ankles, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to wear it in the middle of the shin. This also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something that, no, I must wear it all to the bottom, and that's it. This is the only sunnah. No. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is vast. There are many sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which you may see somebody else and think he's not following the sunnah, but in reality he is still following the sunnah if he wears his shorts or if he wears his trousers up to the middle of the shin. This is still from amongst the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why I emphasize highly upon everybody to read the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shama'il, the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this should be the basics of every single Muslim. The basis of every single person who believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they must study the shama'il. Now another sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he would wear the topi sometimes. Sometimes he would wear the imama, the turban. And here's the thing about the Prophet ﷺ, he never imposed, he never forced anybody else to wear a topi or to wear the imama or to wear the clothes that he was wearing. He didn't force this upon anybody. It was only through the love that the Sahaba had that they decided to enact and follow upon the Prophet ﷺ. So some Sahaba, in a single gathering, there'd be some Sahaba wearing a topi, some wearing no topi, meaning the cap, and some would be wearing the turban. Now, even with the turban, the colors would be different. Some of the Sahaba would be wearing the yellow turban. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about a certain Sahabi, when he went to the battle of Badr, he was wearing a yellow turban, and he was martyred in this battle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this, he also wore a yellow turban as well. There are hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wear the white turban, sometimes he would wear the black turban. In a beautiful hadith, the hadith of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says that he was sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a full moon night. The moon was large and it was very, very white and beautiful. He says that on this night, he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's wearing red clothing and a red turban. He's wearing red clothing and red turban. He says, I look towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I look towards the moon. Then I looked again towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I again looked towards the moon. And he said, I kept doing this because he wanted to establish that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beautiful than the full bright moon. Just by wearing the clothing that he was wearing, red clothing and a red turban. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his life, the color of his turban wasn't set. Sometimes he would wear one color, sometimes he would wear another color. This was not set in stone. You must wear this color, you must only wear this clothing. No. There are only certain groups today, unfortunately, who impose upon their followers that if you want to be a part of our group, then you must wear this color, you must wear this clothing, and that's it. If you don't wear this clothing, if you don't wear this turban, you're not part of this group. This is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left it open. From within the Sharia, there is a lot of leeway. Meaning, again, as we mentioned with the clothing, if you were to wear your sleeves down here, it's perfectly fine. If you were to wear your sleeve all the way up here, this is also perfectly fine. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either is sunnah. So you cannot say one is wrong and the other is right. No, both are correct. And if one was to be wearing it up here, and if one was to be wearing it down here, they are both your brothers, and they're both enacting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no harm in this. We shouldn't look at them with shame. We shouldn't, turn them down. No. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people would come to him, he would always make them feel welcome. And we said this last week as well, that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would meet somebody, he would always meet them with a smile. He would always shake their hand. He would always give them dua. He'd say salam to them. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that he was always the first to enact the salam. He's always the first to initiate the salam. He would say assalamu alaikum first, and then the sahabi or whoever else would reply back to him. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would open to everybody. See, over here I see some are wearing white, some are wearing green, some are wearing blue. Everybody here, we're all Muslim. That's the first, and that's the foundation. We're all Muslim. And one way or another, we are enacting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there should be no judgment between each other. As Muslims, as brothers, we shouldn't judge each other for what we are wearing or for how we are enacted upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as it is within the Sharia, as long as it is within the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is no harm. You shouldn't, look down upon somebody for doing something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah enact upon what has been said today. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagul mubin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. There's a few announcements. Firstly, the donation bucket will be coming around, I think with Hafiz Tahseen, inshallah. So he'll be coming around, inshallah, with the bucket. If you don't have any loose change, we have a card machine outside as well. So do donate by card, inshallah. Next, tonight, after Salatul Asr, we have our Reviving Light gathering. This takes place every single week, and it's open to all brothers and sisters. So everybody can come. It'll be in English, inshallah. So those who are born in this country, those who understand English, or those who have children, it's best that you bring them here, inshallah, and allow them to benefit from this gathering. There'll also be refreshments provided. Next, there's a ladies' weekly program every single Tuesday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30. So encourage all your sisters, your mothers, your daughters to come, inshallah, and learn in the masjid. And finally, for those of you who have children in the madrasa, their exams are starting from next week. So ensure that they are preparing at home, ensure that they are studying and revising their sabak. Jazakumullah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي فضل سيدنا مولانا محمد على العالمين جميعا وأقامه يوم القيامة للمذنبين المتلوثين الخطائين الهالكين شفيعا فصلى الله تعالى وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى كل من هو محبوب مرضي لدي صلاة تبقى وتدوم بدوام الملك الحي القيوم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فيا أيها المؤمنون رحمنا ورحمكم الله تعالى أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والإعلان عن النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والدين لا يموت عيما ما شئت كما تدين تدان فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر حكيم إنه تعالى ملك كريم جواد بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين لا سيما على أول بالتصديق أمين المؤمنين أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أعد الأصحاب أمين المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى جامع القرآن أمين المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب أمين المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى ابنه الكريمين الشهيدين أبي محمد الحسن وأبي عبد الله الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وعلى أمهما سيدة النساء البتول زهراء رضي الله تعالى عنها، وعلينا معهم يا أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ربنا يا مولانا واجعلنا منهم، واخذ من خذل دين سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ربنا يا مولانا ولا تجعلنا منهم. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وجل وأهم وأعظم وأكبر. عباد الله يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Please straighten your rows, ensure your sufuf are straight, ensure that you're shoulder to shoulder and that there are no gaps in your sufuf, and then also please ensure that your mobile phones are turned off or on silent. جزاكم الله خير. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا حساب الميزان اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم تقبل منا ركوعنا وسجودنا وطاعتنا كلها وصلاة هذه صلاة الجمعة مع جماعة المسلمين اللهم عنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا يا خير الرازقين اللهم انصرنا يا خير الناصرين اللهم انصر وارحم أهل فلسطين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وخطايانا كلها يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك العافية وعلما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم ببركة إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين